SV Pod is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Welcome. It's SV Pod. A little later than normal this week. Stanford Steve joins us from parts unknown. Are you in Los Angeles or somewhere? I hope even, not that LA is not good, but where are you, beach bound somewhere?
Manhattan Beach. It's about 45 degrees and raining sideways.
What?
Did not deter me from going to crush a 3x3 for you at In-N-Out today. That was on the lunch docket.
Love it.
But yeah,
45 and rainy. It's 20. It's like 20 degrees better here in D.C. at the moment.
I know. I was talking to the fam. They were out shooting hoops. I'm like, there ain't no shooting hoops out here in the rain. Can't even go to the beach.
Wow.
Not that anybody would want to see me at the beach, but I would like to go jump in the water at some point.
Put your toes in the Pacific while you're out there, even if it's just to, even if it's up just up to your ankles, just so you can say you did it, right?
There's that's a tease, but no, it's been good. I'm staying out here. I got College Football Live, and all the festivities start tomorrow. Got a chance to go see our friends at the UCLA football office today.
Big news! Big news! Crocky J.
Yeah.
They got Crocky J via the portal.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, that's Carson Steele for those that I assume everyone knows Crocky J, running back, Ball State. He's now going to UCLA. Well, that dude's going to be a popular guy.
Yeah.
And part of Chip Kelly's offense there in Westwood. A little different going from the MAC to Westwood, all due respect to the MAC. But that's good news for the young man in the program. I want to get to a bunch of what you've done already.
Yep.
Because I think people have been psyched to see you spreading your wings a little bit and dipping your toe in the water of a bunch of different college football programming, which is fantastic. Just so we get this out of the way, like I'm 1,000,000,000% behind that. I was trying to push that behind the scenes. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, Stanford Steve, for a reason, he played there. Last game was the Rose Bowl. I mean, he's got the bona fide, so psyched to see all that. But I want to get the behind the scenes in a minute. I want to start this conversation with obviously what happened on Monday.
Yeah.
Just because it was such a heavy thing. And the time that Ryan Clark and I were on the air afterwards was something that you don't imagine doing. There've been a lot of kind thoughts about it. And I just want to say, I'm sincerely appreciative, as I know Ryan is, if you felt like it helped and if you felt like we did all right in the moment. I also would just say it's odd to be given sort of recognition or praise for humanity. As I said to one of the reporters that I talked to about it, I think that feels like it should be a baseline expectation, shouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Damar Hamlin is in a battle for his life, and what you got from Ryan Clark, in my opinion, was the brilliance of the whole thing. Look, like Stuart Scott, who we lost 8 years ago today, like we used to say, like, you know, I got love for you. I love that guy. I don't have love for him. I love Ryan Clark, man. He's an awesome dad. He was a brilliant football player. He's an incredibly invested colleague who puts in the work. But what that man did on Monday night, that was testimony, brother, straight from the church, straight from the heart. A guy who knows it, lived it, put his life on the line. I asked him after that, what allowed you to go back? And Steve, I don't know if you're watching, but what he said is, other than my family, it's the only thing I ever loved the first time I touched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, what a line. Mm-hmm. And so my eternal thanks to Ryan for being there the other night to be someone I could lean into, trying to gather as much information as we could and trying to work our way through it. We're in the dark. We don't know much. I kept saying on the broadcast, we'll deal with what we know, not with what we wish we knew. I had a buddy of mine say, well, how come you didn't have a doctor on? I said, because I've been told a doctor that hasn't seen the patient is a guesser, not a doctor.
Mm.
And I didn't see the value. Is even as brilliant as any physician would be out there that was sitting on his or her couch, well, they're just guessing. And so I just didn't want to do that, particularly when we had the value of Ryan Clark and of Lisa Salters and Coldy Harvey and Ben Baby and the people that were on the ground there and Joe and Troy. I mean, look, you and I have been doing this together a lot of years. That's one of one the other night. May we never repeat it. Mm-hmm. But you know what happens behind the scenes. You're just trying to get yourself ready. Our group is wired for it. And, you know, you folks out there listening wouldn't know the names, but there's a guy named Mike McQuaid. He's making sure everything's in, all ducks are in a row as best they can be. He's working with everybody up in Bristol to try to put us in a position to, I mean, not to be ready because we couldn't be, but to at least not be just go on without a plan. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it is. And so, you know what our group's about. You're a massive part of it. And so anyway, all we were trying to do was put that young man's, the health of that young man and this, the, hopefully the healing of that young man at the forefront of what we were thinking and mm-hmm. doing and talking about. And because Ryan's experience is in the game and what he dealt with, are uniquely his, it put him in a position, I think, to uniquely be the man sitting in that spot. And as he said, when we went off the air, he said, I don't think it's, you know, coincidence, you know, he said he felt like God put him in that chair for a reason. And, he delivered, man. I'm forever grateful for him, because whatever, you know, people, and it's weird, like you get like praise for like, no, like humanity, like that's just who we are as humans. And if that was reflected, great. I'm glad for that. But that was all him.
Yeah, it's something we've never seen and dealt with before. And I go from every instance possible of, first of all, the buildup to the game. Everybody was so excited for this game because it was two teams that could win the Super Bowl. We knew this was on the schedule all year. And we had the Rose Bowl leading up to it. And just the anticipation for it.
Yep.
And, you know, I just, you look at the, you know, I'll give you my situation. I'm leaving the Rose Bowl. We got a police escort out, and I got to get to the hotel to get my car to get to the LA studio to be on with you post-show, thinking we're doing an unbelievable show today, the Bad Beats, college football, you know, everything. And so I'm, you know, we're in the escort, and somebody says the game's delayed. And I'm like, what do you mean the game's delayed? Like weather or something? They're like, no, it's an injury. I said, oh, boy. So then everybody pulls out their phones, and immediately I'm trying to get in touch with our show crew. But now I know what's possibly going to happen is that you're going to be the guy that comes on the air. So now I'm even in more of a frantic pace. And then you see it, and it's, you know, that 9 minutes, whatever. It felt like an hour. I can't believe for those involved how long that felt. And I'm just trying to get to the studio, but I got to drive, I don't even know what it was, 25, 30 miles to LA traffic. It's raining. And I'm trying to go by the rules. I'm not trying to be on my phone in that kind of situation, driving on the highway. And finally I get there. I've run up, you know, get some makeup and get changed. And I sit in the chair, and that's right for ending with Joe and Troy, and Ryan comes on, and I just keep going. It's the first time anybody has seen this. And that's where I go back. You know, this is my first time seeing the player's reaction on field while Ryan's talking, while you're talking, while you're going to Coley Harvey in Cincinnati, coming back, Ryan's on. You know, Booger was incredible in the studio.
Yeah.
Susie and Adam. And I'm just
Lisa Salters, too. Lisa,
yeah.
Spectacular.
That's what I said. I'm going to forget somebody, but it's so fast. And, you know, you're in the chair. Everybody behind the scenes is trying to get information. We want information, right? We want to be positive. And at some point, that stuff is going to end. You know, like it's going to be the hospital time, and it's going to be closed doors. And that's where everybody's hopes and prayers come in. And it's a helpless feeling, but everybody's hoping for the best, because that's what you do. You'd have it, like I said, the situation hasn't been in front of us before.
No.
And it's, you know, you just hope the good comes out of it, because, man, from where they were, if there possibly was a life saved on that field, that is That's some incredible stuff. And I'm not trying to compare anything, but I've had injuries, and there's a trust that you have as the athlete. And we are so not of the mindset of normal people and fans that watch games. We've seen guys get carted off in practice. We've seen stuff happen in practice when there's no fans around. We've seen them in the arena, in stadiums. We are not conditioned right because we've seen a lot of bad stuff. So you factor that in and seeing the Bills players and everybody there on the field. And then hear Zach Taylor talk about what McDermott told him today. It's as real as it gets, man. It is yep. as real as it gets. And I don't fault anybody for the way they acted because I keep going back to it. It's the first time. You don't know. You don't know how you're going to react. And that's why the teams and everybody behind. And like you said, I'm sure you guys got called to the studio a lot earlier than we were anticipating, knowing that how much of the show was brought out, and boom, you go on and do your thing. And it was incredible to watch. You guys were awesome.
Well, I'm appreciative of that. As I said, Ryan and Lisa and everybody, they were great. And I don't know, you know me a long time. There's a weird calm I get in moments like that. I just take a deep breath and I just try to be calm, be measured. Mm-hmm. What do we know? I had a card written down.
That's
I'm like,
it.
What? I'm like, what do we That's know? It. Here's what we know. Here's mm-hmm. the timeline of what we know. Here's the people that were involved. Here's what we know. And just try to reflect humanity. And again, I don't think that anyone's supposed to get a parade for that. I think that's just sort of how we are meant to be as human beings. And, you know, I just thanks to everybody that felt like everybody in our business said something. And all the folks, I'm not going to name names because I'll forget somebody, but you get a note from Bob Lee, who is the most legendary newsman that we had at ESPN, certainly before I got there and during his time there. And you get a note from Bob who told me, you're in an impossible position and you crushed it with perspective, emotion, grounding, and presence. Thank you. And I'm like, thank me, huh? Okay, well, that's from Bob Lee. Well, if Bob thought in that spot that the person in the chair that's supposed to steward us through this felt like it was okay, then I'm truly, truly grateful for that. We just tried our best to be human in a moment where you knew everyone was looking to somebody for something, and we didn't have much, but we had Ryan Clark, and that was all we needed. And we had Lisa again, who was spectacular, such a pro, such a rock always. And in that moment, that brief moment where you could hear her voice crack, and it's just like you're reminded, you know, it's our job, but her job's to talk to Joe Burrow after the game, right? I do bad beats with my guy here. We're going to show highlights. That's what we do. That's our job. This isn't in the job description, but we're capable of it if it's necessary, we hope. And so anyhow, that was an incredible night of trying your best to keep the focus on what was important. And the thing that's so interesting as it's 48 hours later is we're waiting for a bit of clarity. We don't know a ton. We've heard news that perhaps there's improvement. That's hopeful. Mm-hmm. But we haven't heard from the commissioner about what are we going to do. We haven't heard from the Bills. We haven't heard from the hospital. It's interesting the way the information currently is there isn't it really much at all. And I think people just want it. They just want to hear something good. They want to hear he's breathing on his own. What do I always say? I'm optimistic because it costs the same. Well, optimism, it feels like it's more expensive here. It feels like it's harder to be optimistic because we all saw the same thing. And, you know, that long of CPR and the expressions of the faces of those Bills will be etched in your minds forever. So it's hard. It's hard for that. But we're waiting and we're hoping to hear something that sounds tangible and good and positive. And so there's that piece of it. And then there's the football piece, which doesn't matter in relation to his health, obviously. And yet the reason that game was as anticipated as it was is because of how much that game mattered to the overall picture in the AFC. And since we know that football is going to continue, like, no, they, NFL didn't pull the plug. They're playing this week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the question about that specific game is a reasonable one to say, since we're still playing football, which the NFL is, the outcome of that game, which meant so much before this horrific injury, still matters to that AFC picture. And so at some point, someone needs to explain what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. That's going to be a hard answer and a hard decision, but there's a reason Goodell makes $40 million to come up with that answer. Because that game, outcome of that game, and I'm going to say it again so people hear me, which doesn't matter as in any way, shape, or form compared to the life of Damar Hamlin, yet matters to the football piece, which we're still playing. So how do they figure that part out? I don't know. It's Wednesday night as you and I talk. Are they just hoping that the Chiefs lose so that we don't have to figure out the AFC one seed? Like, are you just hoping it's you get convenient answers so that you don't have to? Because it feels like somehow you have to have Bills, Bengals finish the game. You can't just assign an outcome, can you? You can't just declare it no game. It matters too much who's the one seed. It matters too much who the mechanics of it all. I mean, strictly as it relates to the football piece. So I'm just baffled by what the answer will be and how they figure it out. So Wednesday night.
There's a million things, obviously. You touched on them all. Well, I had an idea.
All right, I'm listening.
You just make Cincinnati the 2 and Buffalo the 3. That way, if they both win, you get the game back at Cincinnati.
Buffalo's the 1 right now. So they earned that right because they went to Arrowhead and won. And I don't think that would be an agreeable outcome for I know you're kidding, but
just throwing it out there.
Kidding, I hear you.
Kidding.
I know that. I've seen suggestions for ways they can sort it out.
Yeah. Like,
I think rewind the tape to 8:30 in your mind before what happened. And the reason the game was as significant is because of how much it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And that outcome, since we're still playing football, which the league is this week and beyond for the playoffs, that outcome has to be an outcome. I don't know how. I don't know how you ask those two teams to get on that same field and play. There's a lot. I get it. There's a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm just simply saying the football piece is an interesting one to ponder. While all along the Bills are praying, and all of us are praying for this young man.
Oh, no.
And they'll have a game against New England.
Yeah.
Which matters a lot to the football piece for New England and for Buffalo. And so, man, it was a lot. And just think of how frightening that whole thing was. I said as much, I think, at some point the other night. Like, you see injuries and we're conditioned, and you're right. Like, it's not that we're sick in the head. It's just that we've seen it so much that we know, unfortunately, what it looks like. As scary as the Tua situation was, I think we know what they call that, the fencing response, where your hands sort of get frozen. And you wait for the thumbs up, and mostly you get it, you know? And the other nights, that was obviously, thankfully, nothing that we're familiar with. But now we are. And so, everyone's prayers remain with Damar Hamlin in the hopes that that we hear something positive soon. I mean, the NFL games go on this weekend. There's some significant ones. Ryan Clark tweeted out something like this, like the first snap we see, like it's like the last snap of football we saw that happen, you know?
Yep.
And like, I mean, life goes, what's the saying about life? Like, the one thing I know about life, it goes on. And I get that. When it starts up again, it's just hard to fathom how you get the momentum that's required to carry you into that competition. whoever you are in the league. You know what I'm saying, Steve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I just keep going back to, you know, I try not to, you know, games happen and crushing losses and, you know, being at Ohio State, the Peach Bowl, I'm not judging anyone on what they do after that loss, because that is brutal. This is a totally different situation because of how serious it is. And, you know, people have acted different ways. And it's part of living, man. It's brutal. It's brutal to see these things happen. And you think about the people that are affected. So it's a lot for sure. And the timing of it all, it's just, yeah. I mean, the complications for the league and all that stuff. I mean, it's again, wait and see.
I don't envy them. I don't envy them. But again, if you're making $40 million,
yep,
then you got to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to come up with answers that are hard to figure out, that are agreeable to all of your sort of constituency as it relates, again, to the competition piece.
Correct. Which,
because the competition is continuing, that outcome is sort of required for the whole of it.
Mm-hmm.
So those games go on this weekend. Looks like Green Bay is going to make the playoffs. I can't believe that.
Crazy.
Because they think about when we were talking about, maybe they should just put Love in there and see what they've got. I mean, Rogers' thumb's all messed up. He looks bad. They look awful.
Mm.
And I give him credit for being honest about looking at the big picture and going, you know, if we could get this and that, we're going to need a lot of help. And man, they needed help. And it's incredible how much they got.
They got all the help.
I mean, literally, you think of how the dominoes have to fall, and it requires every single one of them. You need the one that falls off the desk, that lands on the thing, that lights the lighter, that burns the string, that makes the thing, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You see those? And all of them, they all happened in sequence, so that now they have a home game with Detroit, where if they win, they're in. The fact that Seattle's game is not at the same time as Detroit, that's odd. I mean, I get now with a Saturday window, it makes it tough to have all the ones that should be played at the same time to be played at the same time. But it's an inherently unfair thing for Detroit, because if Seattle's game's done and they've won, then Detroit knows we don't have a path. Now, of any team, do I think Dan Campbell's guys would still go out and play like maniacs? Of course I do, because you could knock Green Bay out just by winning. That'd probably be enough of an incentive. Yeah. But that's just not reasonable for Detroit to play during a different window than when Seattle's playing, because of the fact of it's those three, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like I think it was Dan Wetzel that wrote about it on Monday, and I agreed with him. I thought, that doesn't seem like an equitable way to handle it. But I can't believe Green Bay's. I mean, here they are. They got a chance to make it. Are they scary? I mean, I think Rodgers is always a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
He's just wired different. Maybe being last year, being the one and being at home, maybe that's not it. Maybe being the last guy, maybe being the last person to sit down at the poker table and just playing all in on everything. Maybe that's the recipe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I give them credit for getting to this point where they've got the game, to try to make it. And then, I mean, Jacksonville's got a way without beating Tennessee, but I mean, the fact that Tennessee's starting a guy in Dobbs, and good for him for getting a chance, but I mean, he was with Cleveland and was claimed off Detroit's practice squad. Now you're starting a win to go to the playoffs game for a different team. I mean, I thought he did better than fine. He helped give Tennessee a chance against Dallas, but it's just such a huge ask.
Yep.
In that spot against a team in Jacksonville, that just feels like they got so much momentum on their side.
No doubt. They're rolling. It's awesome. I was talking to someone. We could possibly get Chargers at Jags, right?
Yes.
That's a good playoff game.
I agree with that.
I'm super interested in that matchup. Some fresh faces in there in the tournament. That's what I want.
Well, but at the fun fantasy football positions, and then also on the D-line, you got some high-level – mm-hmm. big time dudes on both sides of it. The fresh face piece can't be underestimated. I think that's I think every sport needs that. You get it in the NFL typically, and there's about the 100th year in a row where there have been at least four new playoff teams. And so we know we have that going into it already. But I don't know, man. It's just with what happened on Monday and with the uncertainty of what happens with that, it's just such a strange, like even sitting here talking about it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing it half-hearted. Like it's a who cares, you know?
Yeah.
Feeling. Cause like, just, I don't know. I mean, and you know, the Monday bit, the game was so exciting, and please again, hear me. It doesn't matter. And yet any person who plays fantasy football that made it to a final undoubtedly had a zillion people that were still in play, because these teams are some of the best teams and some of the best fantasy teams. So there's a bunch of people looking around going, hey, we're going to play this or not. And again, it doesn't matter relative to the situation. And yet there is, it's still a thing where people are just going, well, do we chop or we whatever? I mean, you spent all year doing this. And if that's your consequence is having to sort out, then fine. No one's complaining. It's just another odd layer as a result of, does the game get played or not? But who cares, you know?
Yeah.
Who cares? Not me. But like we said, someone's going to have to figure out what they're going to do with it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're there all week in advance of the title game. The thing that's such a bummer about how real Monday made everything is that, again, it takes like Saturday was the best day of college football we've had in the sport in the playoff ever.
Oh, unbelievable. Ever. Unbelievable.
And it's worth talking about and smiling about the games. If you know, all credit in the world to TCU, people wondered how are they going to respond in the arena. Well, pretty well. pretty well. But I salute Michigan. They're down three scores, man. Dead in the water. No chance they're coming back. Oh, wait. Look, here come the Wolverines. Had the ball and a chance.
Yeah.
You know? And did the right team win that game?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I tend to agree. Michigan got to the one and didn't score. Michigan got to the two and didn't score. I thought they scored. Like, how's that not a touchdown?
His knee is on the ground and he doesn't have the ball. Like,
that's
how many
point.
Reviews do we have of possession of the ball? It's obvious he doesn't have possession of the ball.
Until
and I thought it was overturned
zone.
So quick.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
I couldn't believe that
it's
call.
It's two possessions for Michigan at the two and the one they got nothing out of, and two
zero.
Possessions for TCU where they got 14 on pick sixes.
Yeah.
And it's just a wild – I mean, that's an incredible turn. But look, TCU got those points because they made plays. It wasn't a charitable contribution. I'm not suggesting otherwise.
Nope.
It just makes it a lot harder to stomach if you're Michigan on the back end to
– No doubt.
To look at it, and you know, now for the, are we just every year going to just hear Harbaugh is going to the NFL until he does? Then what I'd say is, then go to the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're going to get that.
I think so too, just because way too many people that know the score are talking about it.
Yeah,
and listen, if that's where he truly wants to be, then it's the rare deal where someone can go home and leave. And still say, I've done what I was meant to do.
Correct.
We just beat Ohio State 2 years in a row. We just went to the playoff 2 years in a row. You're in good shape. I'm going to go chase my NFL Super Bowl dream. But you guys wanted to run me.
Yep.
I needed, I, you gave me the list. You gave me enough wiggle room to figure out some stuff. I did. We got there. I'll see you guys at the next reunion. You know, I mean, it's the rare ending, if it is the end for him in Ann Arbor, that I think everyone would have to just kind of nod and go, yeah, all right, that was good.
Yeah, I mean, think about where they were in COVID, tapping out, don't play the Ohio State game, and then come back and beat them twice in a row. And, you know, just going back to that game, TCU dictated a lot of those things. You talked about the mistakes Michigan made. TCU dictated a lot of those. And the biggest one to me was, you know, getting that lead where Michigan came out of the game plan of just running the ball down their throat. You saw first play of the game. That's what I thought Michigan was going to do. But I thought TCU would be able to compensate. And boy, did they with big plays. They were incredible, man. I give them all the credit because they're another one. I mean, we'll get to Ohio State because I got plenty there. But to be told that you don't belong for what feels like a whole season.
People poo-pooed their results for months. You know, like it was an accident that they kept figuring out how to win these games. They kept figuring out ways to win games.
They sure did.
It was wild though to see them nursing the double digit lead as opposed to chasing it down. And in any sport, when you're you can't fake desperation. And the Horned Frogs they spent a lot of time this year being desperate because they were down two or three scores. Mm-hmm. But Michigan, when they were desperate, again, I give them a ton of credit. They had the ball and a chance, but TCU wins. They're on to the title game against Georgia. They had the ball and a chance, and they managed to make the plays that won. You were there on the megacast, among other things. By the way, you called TCU on the field on game day that morning. No big deal.
I did.
Actually, that's kind of a big deal because to get back on that had to be pretty tasty.
It was pretty good.
I bet it was. But the Ohio, did you talk to Day and Ohio State beforehand and get the sense like we may get beat, but we're gonna go out swinging?
Just being at practice, you could tell this team. I mean, somebody went back and looked at the press conference media day, right? And I think it was 75% of the questions asked were about Michigan and then the Michigan game. And then like in the other 20% of the questions were basically, do you feel like you belong? And I think they did a great job of funneling all that angst and, you know, questioning that people had of them backing in. God, I love their game plan. I thought they were so good. Stroud was incredible. I didn't know if he had that in him.
I'm with you. Let's just stop right there on Stroud because there were questions and he had to listen to him and he had to hear him and he had to think about what his role is in why they lost to Michigan and this, that, and the other. And against that defense, that was his answer.
Yeah.
And it's a hell of an answer.
Yep. And you factor that in with their down at running back. So, I mean, the kid, Rossi, 34, they lose Harrison Jr. They lose Stover, who's a guy that really takes you to all their success in the run game. And the Rossi, 34, he's basically an H-back, fullback. And by the end of the game, I mean, he had a chance for the night of his life. He was the guy who had the ball on the fake punt, the timeout's called.
And that was a first down easy, man. Kirby called it. They didn't give it to him. He called it again. They gave it to him the second time. You could see it. You could see it on the camera. And he sniffed it out. But you're right. And they flagged him on a penalty on one, too, on a fourth down, right? Early. I think they got 34.
Early. He was moving forward. It was that Rossi.
It was him. He cut it upfield just a fraction early. But no, Stroud, obviously Harrison Jr. Mm. My goodness. I mean, let's not get crazy and say better than his dad. His dad's one of the best receivers there ever was.
Let's not get.
But also, let's not say it's not crazy that maybe he could be. And maybe there's a gold jacket for him somewhere. It's a long way down the road. Mm-hmm. But he's got that look, man. He's got the look of the next massive difference-making wide receiver come out of Ohio State.
Yeah, and good luck to the Big Ten because he's coming back next year. He has to.
Yeah, by rule. By rule. And I mean, I'm mostly for that. I think that every once in a while, there's somebody that you look at and go, no, he could play Sunday now.
Yep.
But they're very few and far between. I think 18, that's his number, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe 18 is one of those people that you could just put a jersey on a Sunday and it would fit right in immediately. But unfortunately for folks in the Big Ten, we get to see that monster again. But you're there in the building. I give credit to Ohio State, man. They showed out. That was a home game for the Dogs. And maybe at some point they've been there so much. Maybe there's some fatigue. They just we went there for the SEC title game, this and that. Yeah. It's still a home game in your state. And Scarlet and Gray came with an army, which is how they arrive always. But you were in the building, and you tell me how good that group was.
It was pretty special. I mean, I'm down on the field. That interception, I think they scored in a couple plays later. Like, that felt all about an Ohio State home game. It really did. That's how loud it was. And it's all red, so you can't really tell. But, man, when both teams, I mean, the end, the ending drive for Ohio State, everything right there at your fingertips, and the place is bananas. It did not feel like a neutral site at all. It was, both sides were loud as hell for their teams. And I give Georgia a lot of credit, man, because it was not pretty in the middle of that third quarter, and Stroud just sitting back there slinging it. And, you know, you go down double digits that late in a game, It's amazing how differently built teams are now to do it, because I don't know, 5-6 years ago, that's not happening. And
teams don't blink now, man. They don't blink.
And that kind of game with that kind of circumstances, and you get the fall down, you get 7 right there, you get us, like, it's just, I mean, and Georgia just keeps bringing waves and waves and waves of guys at you. It's a treat to see. And that's what I think the biggest test is for TCU. Is, I said it all month going into the first half of the Fiesta Bowl, that first half was absolutely enormous for TCU, for their defense to keep them in this game, knowing Duggan was going to have to feel out that Michigan defense. I think it's even more important this Monday night, knowing that Duggan's got a whole different challenge in Georgia's defense. But I will say, Ohio State got the blueprint, man. There, that Georgia secondary, there's some things there you could do. Will you have time and keep your quarterback upright? That was my biggest question. Ohio State did a great job scheme-wise keeping Stroud up. He made some unbelievable plays with his feet at enormous parts of the game. So it'll be real interesting. I think TCU loves where they're at. I think Georgia loves where they're at, and they'll get after it.
I think each is very comfortable in its role. I mean, they're very familiar with it. You know, people have been sleeping on the people have been sleeping on the Hypnotoads all year. I'm sure they're like, y'all stay asleep. That's fine. And the dogs will just smile and nod and say, okay, let me know when you got a good grip. Okay.
Game's still 60 minutes, right?
Yeah. We sign up for 60. Okay. You let me know when you got a good grip. Then we'll start squeezing. I'm going to end up having the Dogs and Winners. I'm pretty sure of it. Feels like way too big a number to be laying. So I don't know. I have a feeling that's where we'll be. Maybe I'll just wait till I hear my winner on game day from you. So we got mega casts. We got game day. We've had a lot of different. Is this sort of like a Stanford Steve buffet where you're looking at the available things? You say, I'll have a little of this, I'll have a little of that. Because I was behind the scenes pushing hard, saying, look, and this is our friend the Bear got a new gig. And okay, I'm like, look, with respect to the Bear, who's awesome, and we know how much value he provided to that show, well, this guy played for Stanford. That would be you. And I said, it's just simple. Just slide him into a role. I mean, he'd be great in anything you guys want him to do. Well, and I appreciate the fact that they were the that show. And look, we're all friends, and we all work for the same place. But they don't want to be like coming and poaching the big man off our show. And I said, I appreciate all that, but anything that's good for him is good for me because it's good for us. So whatever he's up for. So I just didn't know how much stuff you'd be doing or how much you could do. So is that it? Sort of like the buffet, like I'll do this, I'll do that, or just whatever you need me to do.
Just all of it. Give me all of it. I'm here. Love it. I'm Love here. It. It's college football. I'm here for all of it. And it's been a whirlwind, man. Like I just, you know, being at the Peach Bowl, you know, we got a 6 a.m. pickup at the hotel the next New Year's Day, my birthday. We're flying to LAX. We get to LAX. It's like, whatever, 10:30. And honestly, I'm walking through the airport and I'm like, how is every TV showing NFL highlights after the games yesterday? And I'm literally sitting there. I'm like, holy, it's Sunday. I had no idea it was an NFL Sunday. No clue. Go back to the room, get a nap in, wake up, do some work for the you know, January 2nd games, and you know, get in bed early, 4:30, wake up the next day for game day, because obviously we're out at the Rose Bowl and these two schedules collide, and me and you being the night owls and then being around all these early birds, man. I was petrified of just, you know, when I was doing, like, watching tape or games, I'm like, should you be sleeping right now? Should you be sleeping right now? You don't want that alarm to go off. And, you know, we get there January 2nd, and it hit me, man, like 23 years ago, that day, I'm playing my last college football game. And
this on that time, field.
On that field. And I get up there on the desk that morning with those guys. That's not an easy desk to just slide right up in, man.
But it is because they're not going to try to make you uncomfortable. They're going to make sure you feel comfortable. And yeah. B, you fit right there. That's where you're supposed to be. I'll say it, whether you feel that way or not.
It's not a lot of room for a big guy. I'll just say that. sitting in the middle of – Rodney got us on an old stick shot on the desk. Uh-huh. And it was great, man. It's been a lot of fun. Those guys have been awesome. They obviously are in agreement and plenty of conversation. So hopefully it's the same thing moving ahead. And also being a part of a broadcast team too, which is a lot. It's a lot, and being in the truck for the majority of the game and seeing how that thing works, and you know, replays and trying to help Kirk and Chris out, you know, what I'm seeing from them. It's a lot, but man, is it fun as hell. You talk about being in it. We're in it, and those 3 days were pretty freaking special.
Well, listen, the smile on my face is sincere, because it's cool when people who earn it get to do it. And also, and by the way, like, you're going to make it better, because that's just what you do. You're a value add here. This is not just in some charity case, man. You're going to make broadcasts better. So that's fun. I love it. That's great. It's great that this is, I'd say, already working out as we would have hoped. But you're out there all week. Don't worry about me. I'll just be back here doing our just pedestrian late night cable show. It's fine.
Got a had a dinner last night with some old cohorts, Russillo and Cowherd. They were asking for you.
Really?
So
you're out there angling for the Fox gig too, huh?
Not at all.
Listen, it's fine. If you get the bag, I'll drive you to the airport. I'm glad to hear that.
They were all day, and that's what I said. I missed part of it. All Colin and Ryan could do was talk about you and that show post Monday Night Football. So it was good to see some old faces, and we'll start grinding on some tape. I promise the people we will get bad beats to the people. We will get them, because there are some doozies. Obviously, something, you know, got in the way, and we will get there eventually as everybody goes through this. So
the beautiful part of a bad beat is that there's really not a freshness date on that. We'll get to it when far more important matters don't come up, and we'll pray that those never do again. Because obvious reasons, I don't think I have to spell that out for anybody, but we'll be watching and enjoying you out there. You'll be on the all the stuff leading up to the broadcast, and then Monday. We're on Monday. Are you going to be just sort of bouncing around? What are you doing?
I'll be on game day, championship drive. I think we start coverage, golly, maybe like 1-2 o'clock Eastern all the way through. I'll be on, I mean, Championship Drive goes into College Game Day. I'll be on those. I'll be with you Saturday and Sunday from our LA studio.
Isn't that nice? We'll be there. Okay.
We'll be
Thank
there.
Thank you, buddy.
Not much sleep here. We're working. That's the one thing. They know like nobody could find me. I'm here and we're getting stuff done, which is a ton of fun. Like I said, I'm just taking the opportunity and trying to make the most of it. So I appreciate everybody checking in and watching. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, there he is, everybody. Stanford Steve out there in Manhattan Beach. Let's hope the weather improves that you can get out there and enjoy, put those big meaty ankles here in the Pacific. Go ahead.
Do you go onions on your double-double?
No.
Okay.
No. If I.
But you go 3x3. I taught you 3x3, right?
Yeah. And actually, you know what? I'll say light onion, and then they'll say light onion, and I'll say light onion. I basically just want one little strand of that thing on there. I don't want that whole thing where it's like a half of an apple or something.
It's not a pretty scene with the 3x3 because you got to do a good job of keeping everything in. But man, I cannot get my hand. I've used 4 different kinds of soap to get the smell of the double double 3x3 off my hands, and it's not working.
Here's why the 3x3 is the perfect sandwich, because one double double isn't enough, correct, and two is too many. A 3x3 is the perfect answer. It's 3 patties, and it's the whole schmear. You get the stuff, and it does it. You smell like a hamburger for the rest of the day, but that's a small price to pay.
Makes me want to go back and get another one.
I was going
to
say, you're close. We all know where you are. I know where you are. You're not far away. Make it happen, big boy.
Absolutely.
Good to see your face. Good to talk to you. And again, just our thanks to the people being out there, and our thanks for, again, I none of us feel like anyone deserves any praise for being human beings in that moment. But I feel like all of us together were where we are still, and that's all of us still hoping for some positive news here as it relates to DeMar Hamlin. I just want to say on the way out to the Bengals, I thought from Coach Taylor to everybody on that team, just the way it was obvious that they, like, Bills Mafia gained that whole Cincinnati group on Monday.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that scary scene, that was a beautiful thing to see. Like that brotherhood was as real as it gets. And anyway, it's been a heavy week, but we certainly appreciate all y'all out there. And keep your eyes out for Stanford Steve. He'll be with us over the weekend, and then Monday from the title game, TCU in Georgia. You can see that on ESPN. We'll be there to follow, you know, the drill. Have fun out there, pal.
Will do.
Have a great week, everybody.